tears I cried for you. I want you here to have a home as the years go by and we grow old and gray.
This is WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, Greene, and Columbia Counties, New York, and broadcasting locally on 90.7 FM and globally online at WGXC.org. This is the Art of the Hudson Valley, and I'm your host, Chad Weckler. At the top, that song, Photograph, we're talking photography today. That is a song written by Ringo Starr and performed by Ringo and also written by George Harrison in 1973. That particular recording that we played was played at the concert for George, which was held at the Royal Hall in London on the one-year anniversary of George's death in 2002. And George Harrison did pass away 10 years ago, 2 days ago, on November 29th, 2001. Sorry to see him go at age 57, such a young age to go. But here in Hudson, the Hudson Studio Live, I have three photographers, three friends of mine, and we're going to talk photography today. And I'm going to introduce, we have Richard Edelman, Karen Davis, and Carlos Loret de Mola. And Richard, since I'm looking at you and you're first in the circle here, tell us a little bit about Richard Edelman.
Okay. Chad, first of all, thanks for having us here. Thanks, Karen. Thanks, Carlos, for joining us. And I'm the principal of Woodstock Graphic Studio, which is on Tinker Street in Woodstock. And we're a small, very small production house. We do precision creative presentation work for artists. And we develop archives of past work and facilitate production of new work and so on. I'm a photographer and an artist, and I have work which can be seen right now today at Cabani Studios in Phoenicia, New York, 38 Main Street.
Good.
And I'm doing a very compelling group of photographs, which will be exhibited next year at the studio of my collaborator, Ward Fleming of Palinville. Mm. And I mention this because it is funded in part by the Strategic Opportunity Stipends Program through the New York Foundation of the Arts and the New York State Council on the Arts, administered in Mid-Hudson by the Garrison Arts Center.
That's wonderful.
I think so. And
yeah,
it is sponsored in part by the Davis Orton Gallery of Hudson, New York.
I did not know that.
Well, there it is. And there will be a preliminary exhibit or an exhibit prior to that at the Davis Orton Gallery. That's all next spring and summer.
Actually, and since Richard mentioned the New York Foundation for the Arts, it so happened as I was bringing our guest list together, we are all recipients of a NYFA or New York Foundation for the Arts program that started in 2008. Was called the MARC program. I did it in 2008. And each of you did also 1 year. And Richard, you were 2009.
That's right.
Carlos, 10. And Karen, 11. And we'll talk more about that as time progresses. And Carlos, you're next up. Since we're going 2008, 9, 10. So you're 10.
Hi. 20. Yeah. Hi, Chad. Thank you. I'm Carlos Loret-de-Mola. And I'm an artist, photographer, and curator. I live here in Hudson. Actually, I'm in the town of Claverick. And I just came back from curating an exhibition of photo books and photo printed matter at Syracuse University. And I've been here for about 10 years, where I've been doing mostly my creative work. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, I was in the city for 10 years, not doing that, doing production work. And unlike Richard, I have nothing going on right now.
Well, Karen, do you have anything going? Who is Karen Davis?
Hi, I'm Karen Davis. I'm co-director of the Davis Orton Gallery, 114 Warren Street in Hudson. I am also a photographer and photography teacher. And I've had an opportunity to work with both of your guests, and so it's great to be here with everybody. And I'll just say that my book was one of the books in the show that Carlos curated in Syracuse, so another connection.
And didn't we all?
Yeah, in fact, that's another thing we all have in common is that.
Come on, Karen.
You all participated in the Bookmarks exhibition in Syracuse, and I'm very grateful for y'all's participation.
Actually, since you brought that up, Carlos, what was Bookmarks?
Well, it started off as. Originally as an exhibition for just photographers affiliated with the New York Foundation for the Arts MARC program. But I collaborated with Lightworks, which is the photography organization. They're based at Syracuse University. And because it was part of a Society for Photographic Education conference, they wanted to open it up a bit. So we opened it up and allowed other artists affiliated with the Society for Photographic Education, and it became a pretty big show. We collaborated also with the Indie Photo Book Library, and that just concluded now in November, and it turned out to be a pretty well-received exhibition, so we're pretty proud of it.
And Karen, you're also involved in book publishing, and I know we should be plugging your Opera House. Aren't you going to be doing a workshop at Opera House soon?
That was offered a couple of months ago, but our gallery, Davis Orton Gallery, has its second annual photo book exhibit, and it was an international competition. We're showing 20 photo books of all different kinds. It's a wonderful exhibit, and we have a very strong interest in photo books. It seems that we all share that, too, but we have a strong interest in photo books, and we are glad to be able to kind of provide a place for art and photo books to come together.
I recently, this just for that exhibition, Carlos, that was my first foray in the photo book. Can you explain the zine, what a zine is, the whole publishing aspect of...
Well, lately, you know, we photographers and artists in general have been capable of creating publications on our own, whereas not that long ago, if we wanted to have our work published, we had to go through a traditional publisher, and that was a much more costly and arduous and selective process. So now we are living in a world where we can produce our own publications, and you know, that is a great thing, because a lot of projects that would never see the light of day do, and it's a curse because oftentimes some of those projects ought not to see the light of day. But basically, it's pretty empowering, and it's exciting to see artists work in this particular format, because it does affect the way the viewer experiences the work, and it also affects the way the artist produces the work. And so, publication work right now is probably my most exciting thing that I'm doing. And in fact, I really ought to mention that I'll be teaching a zine-making workshop this spring at the Center for Photography at Woodstock. It's April 14th and 15th, and you can go to cpw.org to find that particular class, and it should be pretty exciting, because we'll be actually making zines on site, and everybody leaves with their own zines. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a very fun weekend.
What is a zine?
Well, a zine is basically a very rudimentarily made fanzine, basically made on the cheap, quickly, by people who are just absolutely obsessed with whatever it is that they're zining about. And photozines are really more of an artist book, but done quickly and cheaply. And they're very exciting, because you can really experiment a lot, and you can try out new ideas and stuff that normally you might not do in your regular artist practice. And it's just a way of exploring the published form in a very quick and inexpensive way.
Now, all three of you have been involved with CPW, the Center for Photography at Woodstock. Richard, what has been your experience? You've taught classes in digital photography, and you all... Yes.
Well, I would even go so far as to say that I moved to Woodstock in large part because of the Center for Photography, which then had a different name. I've had some considerable experience there. I've taught workshops, classes there, and also under their auspices at my own studio, which is more or less across the street, give or take a quarter of a mile. Yeah. And I find it to be a very compelling experience. The presence of CPW in Woodstock keeps a community of photographers nearby. I think even photographers who don't really involve themselves at all with CPW, it's intriguing to be in a place where there are so many people with that shared interest. And at the time that I moved to the area, you know, CPW was it. That was the magnet, and a very strong magnet of that. It's been there for quite some time, and I think is a very important place.
And you got started, CPW has a salon that...
Well, Carlos and I both co-moderate the photographer salon, the photo salon, as we call it, which meets once a month on the first Tuesday of the month at 7 o'clock promptly. And we welcome all kinds of people to come and participate, show their own photographs, and it's an opportunity for very different, constantly changing group of people, and sometimes a very large group of people, sometimes very small, to converse about photography. Most importantly for me is the element in which we get to experience the photographs in a more direct way, because we get to hear what the photographer has to say. And I think also very important, this is not generally finished work, but work in progress, the dirty laundry, so to speak. So people come in with their problems and issues and questions, not very different than seeing a gallery exhibition.
Carlos, could you expand on
sure
on that.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it moderating as much as I would call it just emceeing in general. Yeah. I guess maybe we do moderate a bit, but it's a great thing because we're able to basically talk about photographs and talk about why we do them and why they matter, especially today with all the billions of photographs on the internet uploaded every moment. Why we do what we do, and it's important that we meet in person because it allows us to have a dialogue about what we're actually looking at and what we're really caring about. I find it to be really important for me because it's sort of like a monthly checkpoint to see where I'm at with my work in progress, and it allows me to keep track of things like that. And it's also a great place for me to just bring it and get some feedback on the work. Some people do come and often mistake the salon for a camera club, and when Richard talks about people coming in with their questions and stuff like that, it often does veer in that direction every now and then, but it's not really a camera club. We have a lot of great camera clubs in the area that people can go to for that kind of stuff. This is a place where you can go and really talk about photographs, about pictures, and where we can just really be photographers. As opposed to camera aficionados.
And basically, you get assistance and guidance as sort of which you either, as the photographer or the member of the salon, it's a growth process. Is it supposed to be, you know, where am I? Am I going in the right direction?
It is a growth process. I mean, and it's often a very slow one, but it's more just about identifying what's really interesting about the work we're looking at and what's not so interesting, and maybe trying to get the not so interesting stuff pushed to the side and really focusing on the stronger stuff, and then allowing the stronger stuff to make your work, you know, grow.
It does not seem to me that there are, in any discipline of art, many opportunities like this particular salon in the Hudson Valley that I know of.
Well, the great thing of it, I think, is that it's not just a group of artists coming together to talk about their work. I mean, I really get most excited when people who are just beginners or just outsiders from our little, you know, insular world that we live in, the art world, come in and they're genuinely interested in wanting to know more, and they want to do good photographs and make good things, and us trying to just like welcome them in and help them out and doing that. It's that kind of environment.
And I think Richard mentioned the SOS grant, and Karen also, didn't you receive a fellowship from CPW? And talk about what a fellowship is and what it meant to you.
Yeah, I received a fellowship from CPW in 2009. And one of the unique things about CPW is you can apply either with JPEGs digitally, or you can apply with prints. So it enabled me to show the work with prints, and hopefully that did the job, and I received the fellowship that year. So it was a huge boost. I've lived in Hudson now 2.5 years, so this was sort of a grand entry for me into getting to know people, and a very exciting opportunity. And it's a gift that keeps giving besides the monetary part, so it's been wonderful.
And what did the fellowship give you an opportunity to do?
Frankly, just what CPW wants it to do is it gave me a chance to get the camera of my dreams. So that's what I did with the fellowship money.
That's wonderful.
And that's what they encourage, that they want you to be able to kind of advance your work in some way. So that's what I did. And if I could say a word about the portfolio salon and so forth, I think it's a very important thing for photographers. I think you're right, Chad, that there are probably few opportunities for many other kinds of artists to talk about their work, to get feedback, and it's so important. So the salon, besides offering this opportunity to people, it also probably gives people a chance to get to know each other and even create their own little spin-off group, so that people have a chance to continue to grow and critique and learn more about photography in a very comfortable situation.
And certainly my experience with the NYFA MARC program, not knowing a lot of other artists in the area gave me an opportunity, I'm sure all of you too, to meet other artists, find out who they are, and not only photography, but it was primarily visual arts. Can we talk a little bit about sort of the business aspect of photography? I mean, even the fine art and the commercial, it's art and commerce does go hand in hand, I think.
I'm not sure that we defined very clearly for our listeners what the NYFA MARC program is, did we? The New York Foundation of the Arts had a program. Well, you mentioned it earlier, but it's a program which involved a commitment, first of all, of 6 months or so, depending on the year. And you had to actually sign, I had to sign a contract in blood, which said that I would attend all meetings and so on. And the idea of this program, what seemed so special to me, was not just that it brought people together and that it created a kind of a community, but that everyone accepted everyone else within that group as a legitimate artist. And it was really, as the best I recall, no discussion of any kind about that. It was the opposite in this regard of, let us say, our photo salon, where that's all we talk about.
Yeah.
So since everybody was accepting of everyone else, it was really a matter of helping each other to further their careers in the sense of getting the work out there. And for people like myself, social misfits and very introverted in many ways, this is a chance to, and not just a chance, but there was quite a bit of peer pressure make certain things happen. And indeed, you know, when you got a fire under your whatever, you can make it happen. And I took it as a life changer, really.
And certainly for you, wasn't one of your goals to get a gallery to represent you?
Well, I had, and that was true, and as it was actually, we created our own goals, and one of my goals was to, without being too specific and too detailed about it, but I forced myself to make contact, real contact, with a couple of galleries in this area, and that culminated in a solo show at the Donskoy Gallery. Donskoy & Company Gallery in Kingston, and that got me affiliated with Carrie Haddad Photographs, where I had several photographs exhibited on a couple of different occasions, and that in turn continued into my relationship with my latest client, Melissa Stafford, who was the director there, who began the Small Batch Editions, and so on and so on and so on. So it created a real continuum of events.
Speaking of the Small Batch Editions, seems to be almost like the book aspect of a photographer getting their work out. The Small Batch Edition opportunity also seems to be something new that's coming forward. It's brand new. In fact, the website just went live recently.
Just a few days ago, yeah. Well, I have a few things to say. I don't mean to hog the microphone, but first of all, commenting on the zines just briefly to get out of my system here. the zines really provide the extraordinary opportunity in the world of books and such. What I love about the zines that I've seen, all of which Carlos have been involved in one way or another, is that they're handmade. And not truly handmade because they're made, you know, they're digitally produced. Mm-hmm. But they have the mark, you know, the hand of the artist in it. It really is an inexpensive artist's book. I produced an artist book about 20 years ago called Space Digest Today, which involved about 40 different artists in a limited edition of 151 copies. Mm. It was a monstrous project to undertake. On the other extreme of that, you know, we look at something like a zine, which can be made, with a laser printer, and a little bit of skill. Yes, it's not so simple a thing. Although, I'm hoping to take Carlos's class and learn more of the subtleties of it. But that doesn't answer any of your questions about small batch. But
I can. say something about small batch, and then I'm going to go over to Carlos, and we'll talk a little bit more about the zine.
Okay. Well, basically, small batch is a site designed to bring printed work to whomever wishes to buy it at a reasonable price, mm-hmm. very reasonable price, in fact. And it's all online. Although Melissa does have an intention to have a small storefront or something of some kind. And the idea, what makes small batch special and different from anything else that's similar to it, is that it is photographer centric. Her word, to try to expand the photographer's career by providing online interviews, video interviews, and to have the photographer develop work potentially for that site. Mm. And work is being sold for what I would say to be a fraction of what a gallery would, what a storefront gallery, would be selling it for. And where it's all being, handpicked and the edition numbers are small. What makes small batch also a little different is that because I'm doing most of the printing for small batch mm-hmm. editions, is that the reason why I'm excited about it is that for Woodstock Graphic Studio, it's an opportunity to make a low price point print with the higher quality that we would normally, that we do normally impose on everything. So instead of just having prints banged out somewhere in Florida, let's say, and then stamped and sold at a low cost, these are real prints made by a real printer, that's me, and curated by a real curator, and it should be quite a wonderful experience.
And Carlos, you started a bookmark blog website. Are zines available in a so-called small batch editions, or could they be?
Yeah, actually, oftentimes zines are produced in very small numbers because artists usually get bored and want to make a new zine and don't want to produce a lot of them. So oftentimes in the zine scene, you better buy the zine you like quickly, because oftentimes within a short period of time, they're gone. Mm. And zine collectors are usually pretty voracious. It's a pretty interesting scene, actually. But I'd like to comment a little bit about small batch editions. I went to her website yesterday and studied it. It seemed like a great website, and I liked it a lot. And I hope it does well. It seems like we're sort of looking for the next answer as far as the gallery model is concerned, because blue chip and higher end galleries usually do well in this new economy, but it's oftentimes the mid-tier artists and mid-tier galleries that are usually suffering the most. And so this might be one solution, which is to take it to the web. I think it's very clear now, based on my recent experience, that collectors are buying art on the web mm-hmm. and even spending a lot of money on the web. My only concern is that when it comes to prints and original works of art, in order to protect your collector base, you have to keep a certain, I don't know if I want to call it exclusivity, but you want to keep some value to your work, and I'm still sort of on the fence as to how to go about doing that. For me, the answer has always been books and zines. If I want to distribute my work to people who cannot afford, say, a $2,000 print, then I think books is the answer. And in fact, I do that with a lot of artists whose work I can't afford. Yeah. But I'm still thinking, how do I pursue a certain type of gallery if my work is available for less money online? I do have a couple of experiences where I know of artists who their gallery dropped them because they found out that they had some work online for a couple of $100 versus the couple of $1,000 at the bricks and mortar gallery were selling their work for. So it's such a new thing that I think we're working out all those wrinkles and trying to figure out what the answer is going to be. It's a pretty interesting situation to be in, and I'm still trying to figure out what's the best way to go as an artist. I do feel that sites like Small Batch are great for the collector because it gives them a lot more options, and it's great for the curator, the director, but I'm still wondering if it's really great enough for the artist.
Well, this is perfect for Karen to come in, not only as an individual photographer, but one who has a brick-and-mortar gallery that you share with Mark Orton, and you're doing the books. Can you speak from all three points of view, if you could?
I'll try. The editions is a wonderful idea. It's not a way for an artist to support him or herself. They're not going to make much. I don't know who's going to make much money at this. And if we're talking about commerce, we have to talk about that ugly fact. What it does do for the artist is it's certainly a wonderful marketing tool. The public in the model that was just described, the public gets to know something about the artist and see that they've been kind of vetted, and so that could work. But it wouldn't take the place of, in my mind, of a way of getting work of value out before the public the way a gallery often can. There's the term photo book is the one I've been using to talk about the print on demand books and also self published books that people have. The zine is one part of that part of that tradition or growing tradition. I found the photo book to be to talk to Carlos's point, a great way to get to see new work. And in fact, I mentioned that this is the second year we're doing a photo book exhibition that was a competition. Last year's photo book competition, we had wonderful photographers, and we were able to find a photographer to exhibit in our gallery this year because we saw her work in a photo book. So in my mind, the editions and the photo books are ways of an artist getting his or her work before the public so that they can present their body of work and get the value for it that it deserves.
Why did you want to open a gallery?
Part nuts. I'm an exhibiting artist and also and teacher, and I've taught in Boston. I still do. I teach a class called Photography Atelier, which I'm hoping to bring to Hudson. And it's a class for emerging artists, people who've started maybe later, who want to work on a portfolio and then also be able to show it, to market it, and to present it to the public. So I've been teaching this course for almost 15 years, and it always involves a website and an exhibition. And when we moved to Hudson, we live above the store. When we moved to Hudson, we walked in the early days of moving in and realized that we could start a gallery right here. And because of the experience we had, me working as a teacher and also exhibiting my work at the Griffin Museum and other places, we thought it'd be really exciting to present photography and some mixed media work to the public. We quickly added photo books. So if you look at our little logo, it says photography, mixed media, and photo books. But we did it because we could. And and we're hanging in there. And we've had some wonderful shows with well-known photographers like Sylvia Plocky and Shelby Lee Adams. And we've also had incredible shows with emerging artists that for whom the show at the Davis Orton Gallery was their first exhibit. So we've been able to do something that means a lot to both of us, and we'll see how we keep going on that.
You know, the thing I like the most about your gallery is that You really do exhibit a lot of national and international artists there, and it's not just a regional gallery. I find a lot of the galleries here in our area seem to focus on regional artists. Mm. But Karen brings people from all over the country and then puts them into a regional context. And I just think that's so important for our area and for the area artists, so that there's a continuing conversation, not just locally, but everywhere. I mean, we have the internet for that. We should be doing that with our gallery systems too. And so that's what I really appreciate. Every time I go to an exhibition at her gallery, there's people from all over, and it's mixed in with local people too. Yeah, I really like the energy of that gallery.
And I would think also one of the positive things of something like that is artists, we're always trying to better ourselves, learn more things, and to get a broader range of art to look at, and also to have the opportunity to meet those artists who may not live locally, who come and we can talk and ask questions.
Yeah, and to put what we do here in a much broader context than just our local little scene that we have.
Karen, how far in advance are you booking your gallery?
Usually we've been trying to kind of map out a year, probably 6 or 8 months in advance. There are ideas percolating all the time, but we start really zeroing in on it 6 to 8 months in advance. Because of an experience we had this year, I've been toying with leaving one slot open towards the end of the year to allow for all this, for the opportunity to come upon work that we just want to show, and to have some place to put it where we don't have to say to an artist, you know, in the year 2015, we'll be back to you. So, yeah. So we're thinking of kind of, it's a little bit living on the edge as far as we're concerned, but it worked out so well this year to have an opportunity to just put together a show in not too much time that brought new work to the street.
Do you bring a contract? Does a contract become go between you and the artist?
As I mentioned, we're new to the gallery business. We started with an elaborate 6-page contract, one that I had signed at a gallery I exhibited at, and we tried to adapt it and everything. Well, the contract got smaller and smaller, and there's usually a set of understandings, and we talk about it. But it's been my experience that it works out just as well and comfortably. We just kind of go over a few ground rules that we're sort of wanting people to buy into, and let people know what we're going to do for them, and that seems to have worked. So there's always that 6-page document we can return to, but I hope we don't have to. It sets a tone that doesn't feel as much like us as I'd like.
Well, wouldn't you all say that one of the goals, I think, of most artists is to be represented by a gallery, Carlos?
Sounds reasonable, but not often the case. So you have to make do. I mean, I teach, Karen teaches. I mean, we do what we have to do. I do a lot of production work and commissions, and print sales are important. But I think that comes back to the topic of small batch editions. I mean, we need to figure out ways to be represented, and that's yet another alternative. But yes, that is if you want to make a living solely off your artwork, that is the way to go. A representative who can actually, you know, pay attention to you and spread your work and nurture, your work and get it out there into the world is ideal, but that's often very rare, unfortunately.
There's a distinction that needs to be made between being represented by a gallery and showing work at a gallery.
Mm, that's true.
So I'm going to be showing work at galleries here, there, and so on, but no one in that context is in fact representing me. That is to say, I can sell work at gallery B regardless of what gallery A has to say, that sort of thing. Now there may be a conflict. For example, I wouldn't be showing in two galleries in Hudson, so because that's creating an inappropriate kind of competition, if you will. But, that's all. I just wanted to make that point. There are two different mindsets here. Being represented and having a gallery is really trying to get your work out there and create sales. You know, then we're talking, that's big time, you know, especially if that's working, that's happening. And that's who most of my clients are at Woodstock Graphic Studio, people who are, you know, the work is in effect sold before it's made and at a proper price point.
Well, actually, I'd like to bring something up about the reproduction of the print or the image itself, and whether that's a book, it's a zine, it's an inkjet print, it's a chemical C print. Where would you recommend a young photographer who is just taking photographs and maybe taking some classes and giving them advice? Would you say put together a portfolio?
Well, if I may, my comment, and I say this to most of the clients I have, people are, as they're forking over the money, I'm still encouraging people to do their own printing. Now, I say that because I'm old-fashioned and I believe in the craft of the craft in photography, which I think has been largely dismissed in the 21st century, if I may say. And I encourage people to do their own work. And in that way, as I was saying earlier about the zines versus, let us say, a digitally produced book online, I get a sense of what the artist is attempting to do or doing. And that's how I like to see work. I think that's a way of developing your vision and understanding what you're doing. And that would be my quick advice to anyone, is to at least try to do it yourself. Now, if you're having a show at a Davis Orton gallery next month and you want it to look just so lovely and you don't feel that what you're doing is appropriate to that, then you bring it to someplace